Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
SEC's approach to crypto policy has been unfortunate, and there's a lack of clarity. And Congressman Patrick McHenry asked Chair Gensler directly, is Ethereum a security? And that was not answered. And at the same time, the market's being told that there's clarity in Coming In Register. The fact that we have to guess this means that we need better policy and more clarity.
It's Thursday, March 21st, 2024, and this is Markets Daily, a show where we get into the minds of the smartest and most experienced investors, traders, and analysts. I'm Helene Braun, markets reporter at CoinDesk, and before we get to our amazing guest today, let's have a quick look at what the market is doing. Both Bitcoin and Ether are rallying this morning after yesterday's dovish remarks by the Fed, which we'll get to in a minute. According to CoinDesk indices at 8 a.m. Eastern time, Bitcoin was up a little over 6% over the past 24 hours, currently trading at $67,067. Ether is also higher, about 8%, at $3,532. The CoinDesk 20 index, which tracks the broader market, is up nearly 7%. So overall, a very, very good morning for traders, I'd say. But let's hear more from our guest today, which is Ram Ahluwalia, CEO and co-founder of Lumida. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Ram, as I just mentioned, the crypto market is green across the board this morning, and both Bitcoin and Ether are up quite significantly. Do we have to thank the Fed for that, or are there any other drivers behind this price action this morning?
The last 24 hours price action is Fed-driven. So recall last week, we had a very hot CPI print that came in. So markets were skittish going into the FOMC meeting and wanted to see whether the Fed would have a more hawkish tone versus what Powell had shared with Congress just a few weeks ago. And the CPI print hadn't changed their posture. And that was bullish. So across the board in crypto, especially heavily shorted crypto stocks like the Bitcoin miners, MicroStrategy and Mara and others, including equities, anything heavily shorted, rallied and took off. You've seen these 10% rallies because people were off size. They'd gone in and they had hedged a risk or had expected the Fed to have more aggressive talk. And that didn't happen. So markets are rallying.
Do you believe Jerome Powell when he says that they're still on track to cut rates three times this year? It seems like the market is.
So I don't know that Jerome Powell himself knows if they'll cut rates three times this year. They're going to assess based on the data in the same way all market participants are, right? So we got another CPI print coming in April and then in May. Right now, the market's expectations are not for rate cuts in May. I agree with that. We didn't expect that for this month either. Now recall, back at the end of December, markets had an 80% chance of rate cuts this March, which did not happen. And it hasn't mattered because the economic growth is exceeding expectations, right? The economy's firing on all cylinders. So the growth from that offsets the concerns from rate hikes. For June, though, the market implied probabilities are that there's a 70% chance of a rate cut. I'm not sure that's the case. Again, we want to see the incoming data. That probability could very well slip below 50%. You know, if you have a strong economy, why do you need to cut rates?
Right.
So we have to see these data points in the next few months.
Global crypto regulation, the disruptive power of AI, the rise of tokenization. Consensus is the one event where experts convene to talk about the ideas shaping our digital future. Join developers, investors, founders, brands, policymakers, and plenty more in Austin, Texas from May 29th to the 31st. The 10th annual Consensus is curated by CoinDesk to feature the industry's most sought-after speakers, unparalleled networking opportunities, and unforgettable experiences. Take 15% off with this registration code, MD15. Register now at consensus.coindesk.com. Ram, Ether is up today, but it dropped for a brief second yesterday. And the reason for that was that it was reported by my colleagues and other reporters that the SEC is waging a campaign to classify Ether as a security. Now, they've been looking into this for a while, but they're doubling down now, from what I understand, because of the recent Dankun upgrade. Explain to me why the upgrade paved the way for the SEC to double down on this, and if you think there's a good chance that Ether will actually be deemed a security.
Well, SEC's approach to crypto policies been unfortunate, and there's a lack of clarity. And Congressman Patrick McHenry asked Chair Gensler directly, is Ethereum a security? And that was not answered. And at the same time, the market's being told that there's clarity and come in and register. So it's the fact that we have to guess this means that we need better policy and more clarity. My view is that the SEC chair and the commission will view ETH as a security. That's not my view. I'm just trying to expect what they will do.
Right.
And I believe that they may look at the staking feature as indicia of security. You know, there's also a political component to this, right? So Chair Gensler approved the Bitcoin ETF kicking and screaming after it was launched. He had a very unusual kind of missive that he published around the Bitcoin ETF. And we also know that there is a policy from the current administration that is not hospitable towards crypto, right? We have a Senator Elizabeth Warren who has talked about anti-crypto policy, who seems has had an important role to play in selecting the top market regulators, including Chair Gensler. So I don't believe that you're going to see the SEC approve this. And what we're learning from our friends James Safer and Eric Balkunas at Bloomberg is that there's a lack of correspondence between the prospective issuers of an ETF for Ethereum and the SEC. You know, usually you see some smoke trails, some communication back and forth, even clarifications. The absence of that suggests that we will not see an Ethereum ETF approved in May.
Right. So going back to the crypto ETFs that are currently on the market, Brian Armstrong from Coinbase earlier this week in an interview said that Coinbase custodies 90% of all the assets of the Bitcoin ETFs currently. This to me seems like a risky situation. Should there be so much focus on just one entity?
Coinbase has a sound operational risk management framework. They know what they're doing. That's one. So I don't have concern on Coinbase specifically. You know, the premise, the ethos of crypto is based on decentralization and not having to rely on a single point of risk or a trusted actor. And clearly, we have those two elements here. What you would like to see is leading custodians from TradFi, like State Street or BNY Mellon, play a role providing custody for crypto assets. That's what happens in a normal market. The reason why that's not taking place is because the regulators have made it very difficult for banks to do any business with crypto. And that, again, is coming from the policy. And that's very unfortunate. And we have written op-eds in the Wall Street Journal and American Banker, like, if you want to ensure the consumer's protected and you want to create trust in investing in this ecosystem, then you should have highly regulated banks that are well capitalized, that are subject to supervision and oversight, play a role in providing custody services to the public.
So let's talk about Dogecoin here for a second. Doge, alongside Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash, were the top movers yesterday after the industry found out that Coinbase, earlier this month, submitted a filing with the CFTC to list U.S.-regulated futures on those tokens. Is this a sign to start taking Doge more seriously as an asset?
I think you should always take Doge seriously as an asset, but I think it's a buy the rumor, sell the news event, as it is with a lot of this. Yeah, Doge is it's a commodity. There's no question that it's a commodity. That's one. And number two, because it's a commodity, it lends itself to being approved as a futures contract. Even the SEC, in some of their feedback or letters to market participants, have suggested that they would not treat Doge as security. It's not exactly clear, but that's the read from others. Do you take it seriously? Well, that comes down to like, what's your view on Doge and meme coins and other things? And, you know, will Elon Musk integrate Doge as a form of payment with X? I would not be surprised if he does something like that. I think now it's a bit of a buy the rumor, sell the news phenomenon. We had a bit of a meme coin mania the last 2 weeks. That's cooling off a bit. That'll come back though. You know, these are cycles.
And finally, I want to talk about Michael Saylor here for a second, who now owns 1% of all Bitcoin ever issued. Is this something that's concerning to you?
No. Michael Saylor's got diamond hands, number one. Number two,
of course.
Talk about the contrast of where he was a year ago. We all remember the New York Times article with Michael Saylor and he's holding like the Bitcoin plaque, and it was highly critical. And now Bitcoin is just a touch off of all-time highs. They issued two convertible debt notes, and they raised money off of that because MicroStrategy is trading at a 80 to 100% premium to the underlying value of Bitcoin held at MicroStrategy. Issue that, and they're going to turn around and buy more Bitcoin. So they've created a good bid in the market. The risk would be if he wants to sell, and he doesn't. It's been very clear what they want to do. He's got a nice mousetrap that's working. MSTR trades at a premium to the underlying NAV. When that premium is significant, issue bonds, go buy Bitcoin, and that machine keeps going. It's interesting, as MicroStrategy, up until the launch of these ETFs, has played the role of being a pseudo ETF, because you can access MicroStrategy through the convenience of your brokerage account. You don't need to have a CIO desk at an RIA approve MicroStrategy. So I do believe we'll see that premium to NAV decline over time, because now Bitcoin ETFs are become more broadly accessible. And as they get approved through the risk committees, then that premium to NAV should diminish. But directly on your question, no, I'm not concerned that Michael Saylor owns a point of Bitcoin.
As long as he doesn't sell.
There's no intention to sell. He's not going to sell.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ram, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. Take care now.
That was Ram Ahluwalia, CEO and co-founder of Lumida. And that's it for today's show. Tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to see me, your host, Helene Braun.